good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we talk about Native issues and Native news all over Turtle Island, and it's news you don't hear anywhere else. As you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. You know, this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition here in Minnesota, and they're all over Turtle Island. Great sponsors have been with us for a long, long time. Wendy's out today, and it's me and Ogama, and then State Senator Mary Kunish on later. Just Ogama, I wanted to tell you that there's a Deb Holland alert out here. She's been in St. Paul, and now she's at the U of M, and I've been like three steps behind her, and trying to get it, you know, that dreaded selfie with her and I again. I already have one, but that was before she was in this great, the highest ranking Native American in the Biden administration. So still, when we're done with the show, I'm going to get into my motorcycle and put my cape on and try and find her.
You have a motorcycle?
No, that's, I'm not going to go try and find her either, but... that was just all for show.
Oh,
didn't you
okay.
Picture like the motorcycle and the cape, and then where's Deb Holland?
Yes, no. Okay, I get it now. But I was confused. Like, did I miss something? Do you have a motorcycle? Is that something you have?
No, it's just a little levity here. What is it? Friday, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to. I'm going to give myself a little applause for that try of levity. But we'll have State Senator Mary Kunish on a little later, and I think she was with Deb Holland today, so I'll have to we'll have to talk about that. And then also she did an unbelievable great speech that we didn't want to play yesterday, but she was at Boom Island also with Representative Mary Kunish and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. So without getting any further here, let's get with Ogama with the news. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi. Yes, bonjour, Anine, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I'm here with some news with you on Native Roots Radio for this wonderful, beautiful Friday afternoon. Again, I hope everybody's getting some sunshine. Throughout the Midwest here, it's been a long winter, and there's sunshine and beautiful weather where I am. I always want to touch base on some things that are happening locally in the state of Minnesota. First things first, the Huber Mill is a toxic wood refining mill that's going to be happening in north central Minnesota. And on Saturday, May 14th at 6 p.m., Honor the Earth is hosting a fundraiser with Annie Humphrey and David Huckfelt, both of which are wonderful musicians. They will be at Ely's Historic State Theater, again, 6 p.m. Saturday, May 14th. And it is a fundraiser for helping to fight the Huber Mill, and a town hall to find out more information on the dangers of the toxic Huber Mill town hall. Robert, I know we had a lot of stuff going on for MMIW yesterday here, and in Minnesota, it's Indian Month. But do you remember the Not Invisible Act happened in 2020? Is that ringing a bell for you?
No, but, you know, I'm getting old, and I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So tell everybody and me what that is.
So the Not Invisible Act was signed into law in October 2020, and it required that there be a commission named by February 2021, and findings from that commission be made public, and this is surrounding missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. However, that is about a year behind schedule, but it did come through this month, which is exciting. So about 40 law enforcement officials, tribal leaders, social workers, and survivors of violence have been named to this federal Federal Commission for helping improve how the government addresses the crisis of missing and murdered Native Americans and Alaskan Natives. And the Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, announced this on Thursday, which was yesterday. And this is coming from Indian Country Today. And there was another law that was signed in around the same time, and that directed the U.S. Attorney General's office to find ways to increase cooperation among law enforcement agencies and provide tribes resources and address data collection. And that was Savannah's Act, which we all know was named for the 22-year-old Savannah LaFontaine Graywind, who went missing in 2017 while she was pregnant. And we later found out that she was murdered for her baby by a neighbor. And she was found in North Dakota. Now, I know we had Ruth Buffalo on a week or two ago, and she was talking about that. And it's still a very, very fresh thing. It surprises me to hear that it was 2017, because I swear it still feels like it was, you know, last winter that that happened. That's how fresh it is for people in this area. So this is the first time that there are voices that are going to be guiding both the Justice and the Interior Department to help with missing and murdered Indigenous people. And hopefully that this is going to be something that can help to tackle the disproportionately high number of unsolved cases where Native Americans and Alaskan Natives have been disappeared or killed. And again, this is more than a year behind schedule. So I'm really, really glad to see that this is happening. I mean, it's just so long overdue, and it's really easy for people, I think, to, you know, see those laws coming through and think it's a big victory. But we really have to keep on our elected officials to say, hey, you promised us something and you need to follow up with this. So I'm really happy to see there's follow up coming up with MMIW and MMIR. This is some news that I missed this week. Tashina Redhawk was crowned Miss Indian World last weekend at the Gathering of Nations powwow in Albuquerque, which means that anybody who is from the Sichangu Lakota Nation has been having some bragging rights, I think, now for about the last week. Robert, I think I heard that from David Knoyer. He's from Sikandju, Lakota, right?
Yeah, David. David was down there with us for the Gathering of Nations, too. He was going to be a guest on the radio show, but as we know, not everything works out the way we plan.
Yes, exactly. But yes, congratulations to your nation for Miss Indian World this year. She is 18. Tashina Redhawk, Miss Indian World, is 18. And then there were 23 contestants this year. And the competition started in 1984, which I did not know. I thought it was a little bit younger than that. And then the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa citizens were celebrating Sanoa LaRock, who won the title of Miss Dakota. So that was really, or Miss North Dakota, I think it is. And that was really exciting as well. And then a little bit more national news here, Robert. Did you hear about the reopening of the Palms Resort Casino in Las Vegas?
No, was that opening up by some natives?
Yes, it was. So it's the first nation to own and operate a casino in Las Vegas. It is the San Manuel Band out of California. So they are now owning and operating the Palms Resort Casino in Las Vegas, which is a really big deal and pretty exciting, I think. Big, big leap. And then one more quick news. In Alabama, they found an unnamed cave somewhere on private land, but it's got an 80-foot wide east-facing mouth that leads to a tunnel where the ceiling and the floor are kind of together, and they found massive images etched into the mud that they estimate about 4,300 square feet across the cave ceiling. And there are pictures of rattlesnakes and bears, insects, birds, and even human-like figures that were created by indigenous people somewhere around 660 and 949 CE, which is very exciting. So hopefully we'll hear more on that later.
Well, we've been here 10,000 years, and that just proves it again. So thanks, Ogama. And up next, we're going to have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and we're excited to see her. I saw her yesterday, and I think I saw her the day before, too. So this will be 3 days in a row that I'll see her. But we're excited to have her on and talk about her week, because I know she's been doing and running around and doing a lot of good things for our community. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Life is a journey, and the Dougherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, wow. This is the third day in a row that I've seen State Senator Mary Kunish. So good to see you, and thank you. I know you've been running around a lot these last few days, and thank you so much for stopping in and stopping by and talking and speaking your truth with our listeners. It's always great to talk to you. It's always a positive, uplifting hour, you know, on Fridays. So it's great to see you. I saw Deb Holland was in St. Paul, Maggie Lorenz put up a picture, and I was like, oh, FOMO.
Yes. In fact, I just got home about 20 minutes ago from a meeting or a little conference over at the University of Minnesota. Our Secretary of State, Deb Holland, was there. Tina Smith, Betty McCollum, both representatives here in Minnesota at the federal level. Our Lieutenant Governor was there. Karen Diver, do you know Karen Diver?
I do. Yeah, she works for government now, but yeah, I know Karen for sure.
She is, she's always just such a delight. She's actually the senior advisor to the president of the University of Minnesota, President Gable, on Native American affairs. So she's just like a dynamo of a woman. So there was a full complement of Native folks there, and I was there just at the tail end of a day of addressing Midwest climate adaptation and science. There was a conference there, and there were leaders, environmental leaders from Michigan and, Wisconsin and some of these Midwest states, and all talking about the environment and climate change and how we address that in an indigenous way, but also incorporating it into academia, especially at the university levels. And more universities are taking their indigenous approach to climate change and preservation in a very serious way and having full programs that are led by Indigenous experts, both in the field and in academia. So it was really great to hear and see them. There is a young woman that really impressed me. She's attending the University of Minnesota right now. Her name is Serena Alexis Torres, and she's from California. But she is working on studying Monoman. There's a whole I don't know if it's a program or a study called the Monoman Collaborative. And so they're looking at how we address the issues and the effects of climate change on our wild rice, Monoman. Yeah. And just a really bright woman. And I told Mike Dockery that I was going to give him a shout out. He is at the – do you know him, Robert?
No, I don't.
Okay. He is he's at the University of Minnesota, and he works in the forestry department. But he told me that he listens to Native Roots Radio on Fridays and hears me. He says he's usually washing dishes around that time. So I said, well, I was going to give him a shout out. So hi to Mike. For me, it was really great to see that we're addressing these issues at all levels, but also at the legislature, we often are looking for experts and resources when there are when pieces of legislation come up and we're just not sure about it. I mean, sometimes I get this really gut feeling that, oh, there's a poison pill in here somewhere coming from the other side of the aisle. And more often than not, there is. But I just always am looking for those experts that I can go to and ask for their take on legislation or background on information. Because at the state Senate, I'm the lead in forestry and mining, and I'm not a forester, I'm not a miner, but I'm certainly, you know, have grave concerns around both of those issues. And if I can add to a list of experts, that really makes my day.
We do need the experts. And I know in my government job, I am, especially on monies, because, you know, I can do my checkbook. I know you need more in than you do out and things like that, but just the nuances. So that's always a good deal. Mary, let's talk about your week. I saw you 2 days ago. Then I saw you yesterday. Do you want to talk about the parade and all that we did on 2 days ago?
Yeah, it's been a really, really busy week. You know, it is. So this May 5th is the Indigenous, the Native American Women's, the MMIW, MMIR Awareness Day. This whole month is American Indian Month. So we had this, Heather Keeler, actually, Representative Heather Keeler over in the House, contacted me a week or so ago and said we should have a walk around the Capitol on May 5th. You know, there was last year we had this incredible art display out on the front grounds of our Minnesota State Capitol. There were thousands and thousands of these red dresses that were cut out of cardboard and painted painted red, and then installed on the grounds of the Capitol, along with teepees and speeches and drumming and dancing. We didn't do that this year, but instead, a bunch of legislators, we invited all the legislators, both in the House and the Senate, on both sides, please come out and walk with us around the Capitol and just sort of recognize and remember those that have gone missing and are lost. And so we had a number of legislators, quite a few legislators join us out there. And we processed. We walked around the Capitol and we got to see each other. It was a good way to start our day. And then we went over to Minneapolis. So our capital in Minnesota is in St. Paul. Crossed the river over into Minneapolis to Boom Island, which is right on the Mississippi River near some really great natural falls that have now been, of course, were repurposed back in the day for the mills that were there, and mm-hmm. had another great ceremony and gathering with the Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault
Coalition. Yep. Yes. They hosted the event there. And again, there was just a beautiful display of teepees and a community coming out and joining us and drummers. There was the greatest little singer and drummer there. Did you see him, Robert?
I recorded him. They sang the AIM song, and his little high voice was ad-libbing. I have to play that because it was awesome.
It was so sweet, you know, and he gets his neck to get his vocal cords and just his little voice, man. But he was so into it. It was really inspiring to know that. I don't know, was he 6 years old, 5 years old?
Yeah, he was little.
The next generation is on their way. So it was great getting together with everyone.
Yeah, and I didn't play your speech because I knew you were going to be on. But, you know, if you can summarize that, I don't know if it was a planned speech or it was off the cuff, but it was very, very important, and we talked a little bit about it. I played Heathers and Lieutenant Governors, but you also listed names of people too towards the end of the ceremony, which is always so powerful.
It is. I carried the legislation to create the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force five years ago. So it feels mm-hmm. like it was a number of years ago. And then we created that Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office here in Minnesota. And one of the first things that I was always asked was, well, how many are we talking about? How many, you know, women, how, you know, who, give us the data. Data drives action, especially in government and official entities. And we didn't really have a solid list to share with people. We had anecdotal stories from so many people about their grandma who was walking down the road, never to be seen again, or their sister, or their daughter, whoever it might be. And so we created that task force, but the list, I have a list, an official list right now of 54 women and men, because let's not forget that men and boys are also victims of this kind of violence.
Mary, why don't we take a break and then jump into this, because I think you're just about to talk about some really heavy stuff, which I think we should get that into the next segment. We're here with State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish, who is our Friday guest, and it's always a positive Friday. So, and we're back in a few minutes here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Ogma, who's in the background, and she's probably taking care of her little baby. But it's great to have Ogma back, and Wendy will be back on Monday. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Even though things are getting better, COVID-19 is still around and a threat to our public health. To best protect yourself, make sure you continue to wear masks in high traffic areas like concerts, sporting events, or crowded indoor buildings. Wearing masks can help prevent severe illness and reduce the strain on our hospitals and healthcare workers. Wear a mask with the best fit, protection, and comfort for you. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find more COVID information by calling 651-304-9986.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Santita Jackson, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hi, this is Evelyn. Dad, do I need to read this next line?
Do you want me to start dancing on the tickety-talk?
Okay, fine. My dad is the one and only Mr. Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Not an official title.
You're telling me. One thing my dad and I both agree on is Toyota Siennas are great vehicles. I drive one all the time, and it has the same safety and reliability of my dad's Sienna. It's fun to drive, perfect for summer fun with friends.
Test drive a Toyota Sienna at the best Toyota dealer in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clear tonight with a low of 48, then sunshine on Saturday with a high of 71.
Don't waste hours figuring out how to pick up and assemble your own grill. Leave it to the specialists at Warner Stellion. Choose from the hottest new grills. Then don't pay a penny more for professional assembly, delivery, or haul away. Shop now at WarnerStellion.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion is brought to you by MN350, fighting for climate justice. I miss Wendy, obviously. Hey, before we get going, Mary, I queued up that youngster here, and we're going to listen to him real quick and see if we can hear him screaming in the background, but let's play him. Oops, I guess. I don't know if you heard him in the background there. It was pretty funny. He had a really high voice. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we were just talking about the history and that 5 years ago, and I think the lieutenant governor kind of mentioned this too, that Native women make things happen, because 5 years is a relatively short time. And as you were a House representative those 5 years ago, you were telling us the story of how this all came about. So I'm wondering if we could go from there again.
Sure. So we, I, as a state representative, I was serving at the time with three other Native women, Lieutenant Governor Jamie Becker Finn and
Deb Allen.
What was it? Deb, So we, you know, started talking about the issues that were affecting the Native community. And I think for the first time in the history that we were able to do that, and people sort of started listening. I don't think they knew what they were listening to, but they started listening to it. And after the report from Canada came out and some other really, you know, horrific stories came to light around the violence and the murder of women, we created the task force. And at the time, especially those in public safety wanted to know, you know, where is this happening? How many numbers of it? When is it happening? We need to track it. And we didn't have that information. But just recently, I was able to get my hands on a list of at least 54 of our Native relatives that are still missing and murdered, and the families don't have any kind of closure or understanding of what happened to their loved one. You know, there on that list, there was a woman as old as 81 years old, and a young girl as young as 12 on that list. There were men, there were boys from all over Minnesota. And it's really a heartbreaking thing when you actually see names and places on a piece of paper. And some of those names I had heard a number of times in the last 5 years. And it's really pretty heartbreaking. But the list only begins back in 1999 or 97. And, you know, you think, wow, this is such an incomplete list. And why is there no data or information before 1997? And it begs that question, was nobody tracking it? Was nobody collecting the data? Was it just such a inconsequential thing that it didn't show up in any report? And, you know, having the very first in the nation missing and murdered Indigenous relatives office and the comprehensive task force, that a report that we put together, you know, Minnesota is really leading in this area. And the more we put in place, the more we realize there's so much more to do. And so fortunately we have this office and we have executive director, Juliet Rudy. I think she's going to be just great. She's a former a police officer herself. She herself is Native, has experienced that kind of violence, as well as family members and friends. And we really look forward to, you know, really setting up an office that is going to help our communities. And we know that it's going to help all communities, right? If we can lower violence, if we can address murder issues, it's going to be good for everybody, whether you're Native or African American or anyone.
Right. And Senator Smith, who's on our show from Wisconsin, is leading the way in Wisconsin. And again, back up what the Lieutenant Governor said, how fast you ladies, you women, legislators have pushed this along, because these things can last for years and rhetoric and back and forth. But we have an office now, and I believe it's the first office anywhere in the United States. And it's totally exciting, because you know, we're not humanized. I mean, it's, I don't want to get down to Debbie Downer here on a Friday, but you know, all the things that they talk about that, you know, we were dinosaurs, we're not human, we're savages, all those things that have been taught to people over the years through film and television and press, you know, need to be unlearned.
Yes, absolutely. And while here in Minnesota, the our indigenous legislators are all women, we are looking for good men at the legislature as well. We're looking for our leaders, our men leaders, our male leaders, our Two-Spirit leaders to step up and join us at the legislature, because that really, those stories and the personal experiences speak so much more than anything else when it comes to creating legislation. And so please consider it, you know, if you're somebody that has never thought about it, give it a thought, because we need some folks at the state legislature.
Well, I know too, your story's great. And again, we played the recording of State Representative Heather Keeler yesterday, and her story is fun too. She had to choke on it a few times to tell her students to get involved, and then there was a seat open. And I know your daughter was really big in your decision making, because she's a very political giant here in Minnesota. And you were going along. Well, why don't you tell this story?
Well, my eldest daughter is a force to be reckoned with, a political science major, went down to Chicago after she graduated and did some community organizing down there, and then came back to Minnesota to work on a gubernatorial campaign. And she moved back in with us, not having a place to stay, and ended up staying through that whole process. And so I was able to see, you know, from that really root level, what it takes to put together a campaign and then get it organized and implement it and run it through, which was just fascinating for me. I was already active in my own little community. I sat on one of the boards in our city. But they needed, campaigns always need volunteers. They always need somebody to door knock or make phone calls or bring food into volunteers. And I was that go-to person. And I realized, you know, after meeting all these movers and shakers in Minnesota and being around all these incredible people who really had the best interest of Minnesota in mind, you know, I had the realization, like, I could do this. I think I could do this. And so I got more active in our local DFL, our Democrat group. And when an opportunity came for me to run, I went back to my daughter and my son, who was also very active, and said, "What do you think?" And they're like, "Yeah, heck yeah, Mom, let's do this." And so it was really with a lot of family support that I jumped in. And there are days where I'm thinking, what in the world did I do here? And then other days that I just walk out of there thinking, you know, I made a difference today.
Yeah, you definitely have. And then your background's education. You're in education for 25 years before you retired just recently. That's an awesome angle. I just want to ask you, too, we only got a couple minutes left, that I think it's time, and we talked a little bit about this, and I talked to a couple other people that were with you yesterday about this, and it's that we need to really start, I don't want to use the word fighting back, but we need to start giving our truth back. And it sounds like you did a couple days ago on the floor. I want to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. I lost my cool on the Minnesota Senate floor. We had we were listening to the higher ed omnibus bill, and unfortunately, our GOP partners wouldn't take any of our amendments, and they were mostly around public safety, especially at the university campuses around Minnesota, our state universities. They were asking, one of our senators was asking for additional funds for new lighting, to freshen up the lighting, for panic buttons, for escorts to escort people between buildings or to their car, for public safety. And they just shot it down. Absolutely not. And then I had an amendment that would also address some of the needs at the University of Minnesota around updating their sexual harassment and their consent policy, which is kind of ironic because I'm also sitting on a committee to do that for the senators, for our Minnesota state senators. And I said, we're doing this here. Why don't we do it at the University of Minnesota? And they shot it right down. And then they brought their amendment. There's a bunch of senators on the GOP side that are very upset because the University of Minnesota had to cut a few of their men's athletic teams, and they wanted them to create a commission. And if they didn't create the commission, they were going to withhold funding. And I just was like, where are your priorities? Is this really what you want to fight about?
Wow. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you're really busy. Wow. And thank you for standing up for us. I think the DFL really needs to kick it in because we are on the right side of history and we outnumber them. So we need to really ignite our base and really get it. So thank you so much, State Senator, for being on.
You bet. You bet. Take care.
Oh, hey, that was State Senator Mary Kunish. And up next, Ogum and I are going to just shoot the stuff here. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minneapolis Public Schools wants to hire you. They have a variety of positions to start your career. You can work in the classroom as a teacher or classroom support, or work outside the classroom as a bus driver, in the culinary wellness department to help prepare nutritious meals, or keeping the building safe and sanitized as a custodian. Bilingual, bicultural, candidates encouraged to apply. Start your career in education and apply today at jobs.minneapolis.k12.mn.us.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by our sacred animal, the wolf, from Howling for Wolves. Oh.
Oh, that's not how we say it.
I don't have it in front of me.
Are we not howling today? That's not how it goes.
Let's hear it.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. There it is. There it is.
Beanie Geegee, thank you so much. I'm just a little off here, and I think it's just because I've been really busy too. And I know you're really busy, Ogma. You have a new child, and it's totally exciting. And you're back, you know, slowly coming back, and we really appreciate it. And I just want to give a quick shout out while we're talking to Gina. Did a great job sitting in for you for those 9 weeks. It was pretty awesome.
Yes, I my heart is forever grateful to Gina for covering for me for that, because you know, we have a little bit of that mom guilt thing going on, you know, that we don't want to leave our jobs. And, but I really did. I needed that time to, spend with my family and get things ready for baby and to get baby well established and ready to go. And she's been doing really well. If you were watching yesterday, you got to see her. She is pretty cute so far.
And
we'll,
it's amazing.
We'll see what happens when she's two, but.
Well, it's amazing. Both your daughters look just like you. It's crazy.
You know, when you see my older daughter, when you see my oldest daughter next to me, you think she looks like me. But when you see her next to her father, you can see him there too. But you've got to have her standing next to either one of us to be able to see it, I think.
Well, just to give her a shout out too, because she's the firstborn. She does a couple of our ads here on Native Roots Radio, which I'm not sure if everybody knows that, but Do you want to say which ads they are, because it's pretty cute?
Yeah. So her name in Ojibwe is Ojawashko Gijig, which means blue sky. So she announces and has a lead in. And then she also did an ad about the COVID vaccine, about getting her COVID vaccine, because she was so excited to get a COVID vaccine.
And she says, get the jab. I think it sounds so cute.
Yes, she does. Yep. And what's funny about that commercial is she recorded it before she actually got her shot. And she was so excited and so brave. But I'll be honest, when we got to the doctor's office, she was a little nervous. She doesn't generally like shots. So,
yeah, I mean, it's thinking about the good idea. And then when you get to that point, it was funny. I got a shot. And I have got two shots last time, and one of them was the vaccine, and it was Pfizer. And if those people that are giving you the shot are good, you don't even feel it. It's just like unbelievable. And I've felt it before, and just this last time, it's like, well, are you done? And yes, they were, and I didn't even know it. And then I had a little, I don't know if it was because I'm getting older or if I was just a little tired the next day. That's how it affected me. And it definitely was the shots, because it was like, oh, I'm off just a little bit, but that just lasted a day. And, you know, and Wendy having COVID, Ogima, she could have been a lot sicker. She was pretty sick for, I think she said 4 or 5 days, and she was in New York all by herself. And so it was crazy that, she couldn't fly here, because then it would affect other people, and then couldn't come here to take care of her. And then I would have been, you know, she has COVID, so I might have caught it from her. So it was just a total weird double-edged sword, and glad she got better. And now she's got to wait 6 months before she can get her shot.
Right. Yeah, it's really scary. And my family's going to have to do some traveling here in the next week or so. We had a family member that passed away. My aunt in California passed away, and we have to go to her services, and we're going to have to be traveling with our small one. And I'm honestly really nervous about it. And I'm not eligible for a second booster shot yet. You have to be over 50 for a second booster shot. So I've had my vaccine and I've had my booster. I got my booster while I was pregnant, and I'm grateful for that, but I honestly kind of wish I could get that second booster right about now so that I could give my baby a little bit more protection.
It's a little scary, because I thought for sure I'd come back with COVID, because I went to the Gathering of Nations. But being in the LA airport, I don't know, you've done that before, but I was in shock. One, that probably 10% of the people were wearing a mask. And two, that there were so many people. There was no 6 feet for me. So I'm lucky to be here and not have COVID after being in the LA airport. Because just a couple weeks earlier, I think we were flying to New York, and or I was flying back from New York, and I'd say 30% of the people had masks on and 70 didn't. And then the next time it was like, wow, it's less than 10% of the people that are wearing masks. And it was just, it was crazy. And, you know, I wore a mask the whole time I was there, but it was just, there's a whole nother story about the flight being delayed and running around like a fool on that day, and then sweating, and then finding out an hour later the flight was canceled, and then it wasn't delayed, and then, you know, I could write a whole book. But I was thinking, you know, Ogma, you know, we only got a few minutes left here, but just the history, as you were talking, and I remember when you first got on the show when we were 2 hours on Saturdays, and we had 8 guests, including you as a guest, and you used to tell a story. You used to tell stories, and I kind of miss that. We might have to bring that back here next week when we're all flying around the place, but that first story, and I remember the story about your uncle. It was very yeah. mesmerizing, you know. And I remember getting that from you, you sending it to me, and the first time, and I'm thinking, well, I should put a little music in the background. And it was just like, no, this is perfect. It was very stark and naked, and the story just it was an 8-minute story, wasn't it? I mean, it was a whole segment.
I think so. I think my first story was about the fact that I accidentally had 2 birthdays for a very long time. My federal date of birth and my state date of birth did not line up for a very long time. So it was a bit of a hassle in my adult life. It has since been corrected, thank goodness. And then I think the second one or maybe the third one I told was about an uncle that I had who had gotten very heavily drunk and had wandered outside and actually froze to death outside in Bemidji, Minnesota, is where that happened. And, you know, I think a lot of us have stories like that. You know, we talk about missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, but we also have a lot of really, really strong heartaches like that, where we lost a relative too soon to suicide or to alcohol or drugs. And my aunt who passed away, this is on my mother's side, and my mother's not Native that we know of, but her youngest daughter passed away less than 6 months ago from a drug overdose as well. Yeah. So, I mean, this kind of thing affects everybody. And I don't think I know a single person in my life that doesn't know at least one person in their family or somebody who is close to them that's had an issue with drugs or alcohol or, you know, has died much sooner than they maybe should have. So those are things that I think we don't talk about enough, you know, that level of grief that we're carrying.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think we talk a little bit Mondays with Dr. Stately about this, especially with what's happened. I really thought that the COVID would only be around a year maybe, and it really affected our students for 2 years and your little one and not being in class and people working and, you know, from home and not seeing people. So our mental health is really needs to be really dealt with here, and it's interesting. It's 71 degrees here in the Twin Cities, and people are all over the place, and that's something new. I remember hiding in the house basically. And well, here's another week, Ogama. I really appreciate everything that you do for us here on Native Roots Radio and all the other jobs that we have in the background that we don't talk about on the radio, but we do a little bit. But I appreciate you. Wendy will be back Monday, and I'll be gone with my tribe, so it'll be you two and Dr. Stately. But I just want to say this. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Again, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Pini Gigi to State Senator Mary Kunish. We're still here. We are the 7th generation. Free Leonard Peltier.